Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. Please be seated. The year was 1943. In Montgomery, Alabama, a 30-year-old teacher and member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church entered the front door of a city bus and paid her fare. As she continued on to take her seat, the white bus driver, James F. Blake, told her to disembark and re-enter the bus by the back door, a discriminatory rule imposed by some bus drivers at the time. Well, the young woman got off the bus and proceeded to the rear door to see the driver speed off, leaving her standing in a driving rainstorm. As she waited for the next bus, disheartened, she vowed never again to ride the bus with that particular driver. 12 years later, December 1st, 1955, around 6 o'clock p.m., the driver and passenger were to meet again. Their encounter went like this. The woman paid her fare and sat in the first row of the seats designated for black people. During the course of the ride, however, when the white seats filled up, the driver, the same James F. Blake, approached four black people, demanding that they move further back in the bus to liberate their seats for the white passengers. Y'all better make it light on yourselves and let me have those seats, he barked. How's my southern accent? Not great. Three of them complied, but Mrs. Rosa Parks answered, I don't think that I should have to stand up. Blake responded, well, if you don't stand up, I'm going to have to call the police and have you arrested. Mrs. Parks replied, you may do that. When asked later why she did not relinquish her seat, she answered, people always say that I did not give up my seat because I was tired. I was not tired physically, or no more tired than I usually was at the end of a working day. I was not old, although some people have me as being old. I was 42, and the only tired I was tired of not giving in. And the rest of the story is history. Rosa Parks, best known for her pivotal role in the Montgomery bus boycott, was called the First Lady of Civil Rights and the mother of the freedom movement. She organized and collaborated with civil rights leaders, including a new minister at the time, a 26-year-old Martin Luther King. Freedom. Isn't that what Rosa Parks wanted? Freedom to be herself, freedom to live her life in justice and in the values of the Christian faith in which she was raised. Isn't that also the message of our reading from Galatians today? Freedom. What kind of freedom is Paul talking about in his letter to the Christians in Galatia? According to Paul, the goal of Christ's message is to transform the Galatians from being slaves under the law to being adopted sons of God. Yes, in this passage, Paul is setting up the contrast between servitude under the law and freedom in Christ. Paul challenges the Galatian Christians to stop allowing controversial Torah observances to divide their church's congregation. When people trust in Jesus as the Messiah and put their faith in him, his life, his death, his resurrection, those life, death, and resurrection, that becomes theirs. Paul offers to his followers in Galatia the good news that God has sent the Son to rescue them from spiritual slavery and to adopt them as God's children. That is freedom. Let's take just a brief look at a little background about Paul's message to the new Christians in Galatia. Upon arriving back in Antioch from his first missionary journey, Paul received a report that the church he had started in Galatia had fallen into hard times. Specifically, they had fallen into error. A group of Judaizers had gained influence in the Galatian church. This group was comprised of people who sought to make the Mosaic law, with its observance of ritual, social, and moral obligations, sought to make it a requirement of the Christian faith. Paul, on the other hand, believed them to be misguided and not followers of the true gospel of freedom that he sought to teach them through Jesus Christ. Throughout the entire letter, Paul stresses Christian freedom for gaining divine favor and blessings. Well, this call to freedom is particularly appropriate for us on this first Sunday after Christmas. This first Sunday after Christmas is commonly called Low Sunday because of a generally lower attendance. Well, not too bad, I wouldn't say too bad. Right after our participation in the spectacular Christmas services a few days ago, this is a day when, Kevin, church choirs often take a vacation after the vocal workout of Advent and Christmas, and we certainly did hear some beautiful music at that time. We have our organist with us, though. That's great. In fact, today, our diligent rector is taking a well-deserved time away, but I am not. But when the euphoria of Christ's birth has perhaps turned to postpartum exhaustion, Paul wants us to be lifted impossibly high. Paul calls on the church to transformation. Our hearts are directly injected with the Spirit of God's Son. If we listen closely, we hear a new extra heartbeat within us, faintly echoing the cry of a baby's first words, Abba, Abba, Abba. Our blood is mingled with that of Jesus himself. We can hear the cries of the Spirit of God's newborn Son within us. We are no longer slaves to the law, to others, or to ourselves. We are no longer second-class strangers to our salvation. We are now children and heirs, heirs of God, just as Jesus himself is God's child and heir. So, on one of the lowest days, call would have the full impact of the heights of Christmas take hold of us and lift us above ourselves and beyond our culture. Paul calls us, the church, to be born again on the first Sunday after Christmas. Paul calls upon us to hear this small voice and to listen to what the future holds for us. Rosa Parks did not refuse to give up her seat on the bus because her skin was black and the driver's skin was white. The reason goes much deeper than that. She refused to give up her seat on the bus because she knew that she was a free child of God who valued her worth in God's sight. What Paul was trying to teach the early Christians in Galatia was to embrace the freedom of celebrating the coming of God into the world in the form of the Christ child. The presiding Bishop Michael Curry, in his Christmas message this year, says, "The early Christians knew very well, and we have learned that this Jesus, his teaching, his example, his life, point us to the way of life itself, a way of life where we take care of each other, a way of life where we care for God's world, a way of life where we are in a loving relationship with our God and with each other, a way of life where we are children of the one God who has created us all. Because of the birth of Christ and because of his presence among us on this first Sunday after Christmas, and forever, we are free. We do not walk life's road as slaves, bound by whatever shackles us to being less than God intends us to be. We walk in this freedom as sons and daughters, adopted by God in Christ, free to be all that God calls us to be." In the name of our loving, liberating, and life-giving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.